You are listening to TKO on CFRU Radio 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and available worldwide at CFRU.ca. What is happening, everybody? What is good with y'all? It's your girl Janan right here on TKO. As you already know, here on TKO, all we talk about is mixed martial arts, also known as MMA, and other combat sports too. We also discuss the issues that surround the world of fighting and talk about notable fighters and athletes and how they all got started in the game and, of course, where they are now. So, what is happening, everybody? I hope that all of y'all have been having a blessed week and a phenomenal day so far. You may be wondering why I'm so hyped this morning, as if I'm not hyped every single episode. Well, there's a few reasons for that. Number one, we are back in the studio, CFRU Studios. And honestly, I feel like I've said this 1,000 times on the show, but every time I walk into the studio, it just feels like, whoo, the good vibes just like hit you in the face and you feel like there's this warmth of energy surrounding you. And honestly, a big shout out to our family here at CFRU. If it weren't because of their love and support, we would not be here right now. And I just love it here, man. And if you do happen to be in Guelph and nearby regions and you're interested in getting some radio experience, or you have a really, really cool idea about a radio show, hit us up. You will not be disappointed. Honestly, the best place you could be doing a radio show. Other than that, the caffeine is hitting for me. I already told y'all that I've been consuming some lion's mane mushroom, which is really, really good for your neurons and your focus. And overall, it's your brain's best friend. Not to get too scientific, but there's some studies out there that it actually promotes neurogenesis. So it promotes growth of your neurons. So honestly, best thing ever. But hey, disclaimer, talk to your doctor before you take it. But honestly, for me, because I really need my brain to get going in the morning, I take it in the morning, I hit the lab, do whatever I do in the lab, and I feel like Iron Man in the Avengers when he made a time machine overnight when he pulled an all-nighter. That's the brain power that it gives you. Anyway, so we're running on all of that. But on top of that, there's some major festivities going on in the world right now. Happy Ramadan to whoever celebrates Ramadan. I hope that the holy month brings everybody peace and prosperity. And I also know that there's some Persian festivities going on. As a matter of fact, last night was Charshanba Suri, which is the last Tuesday night celebrated before Persian New Year, aka Nowruz. So I really hope that whoever celebrated that enjoyed their time with friends and family and the amazing time they get to spend around the bonfire that we usually make. And I don't know if non-Persians know this, but at the end of the night, you actually have to jump over the fire without burning yourself. There's some like historical slash, I don't know, something about it, but that's beyond the scope of the show. But according to really, really ancient Zoroastrian traditions, the fire is supposed to cleanse you, is supposed to detox you of all evil spirits and bad energy, negativity. So if you did that, I really hope that one, you didn't burn yourself. Number two, I hope that you feel better than ever and you feel cleansed and detoxed and ready to go and, you know, get it on this Persian New Year, because honestly, I know I'm rambling at this point, but this is the like my ultimate most favorite time of the year. My favorite time of the year. Spring is around the corner. Nowruz, Charshanba Suri, Ramadan, everything is happening. Really happy. So I hope that everybody's been making the most of this time. And I really hope that all of y'all have been able to make some time in your day to go out and enjoy this beautiful weather that we have in Guelph, Ontario, just like in Ontario in general. I think as far as I'm concerned, we got the sun being out. We don't have any more rains or crazy ice storms like before. So I really feel like spring is around the corner for real. And I really hope that everybody's been able to take advantage of that. All right, so life is good and everything's hitting. really, really enjoying this moment right now. All right, so we got a lot to talk about when it comes to combat sports as well. Like I told you guys, the month of March was supposed to be stacked with fights, and indeed it has been. We've had amazing MMA fights happen so far and boxing fights, as I will talk about in the rest of the show. And we've also been getting some really surreal fight announcements over the past week, which I really hope that we have enough time to talk about that as well. I'll try to be as concise as possible with my breakdowns today so that we can actually get to that as well. But there's just honestly a lot happening in the world of combat sports right now, and I cannot wait to get into all of that in a few moments. But before I get into that, just want to take some time to say our thoughts and prayers are with Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman, who is a UFC veteran and honestly an MMA legend. He is one of those OG guys who started fighting MMA, who made a name of himself in the UFC. The news is that Mark Coleman, unfortunately, his parents, they had a house fire, and Mark Coleman, the amazing son that he is, he actually went into the house to rescue his parents, but unfortunately, he suffered some injuries himself in the meantime. He is hospitalized as of now. This happened a day and a half ago. He's still in the hospital. He's getting treatment, medical treatment. But everybody, please make sure that you keep him in your thoughts and prayers. And it's really sad. I mean, it's very courageous and brave of him, what he did. And it touched everybody's heart, but things are not looking good for him. So I would like to dedicate this episode to Mark Coleman, and I really hope that he makes a speedy recovery soon. All right, with that, let's jump right into it, y'all. So this past weekend, we had a lot going on for us, okay? So this weekend, I mean, starting Friday night, we had the boxing fight that was announced to happen between Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. And oh boy, this was one hell of a fight. And it was a fight that I don't think anybody is going to forget for the foreseeable future. And I say that in a good way and a bad way. So I'll be totally honest with you guys. Y'all know, deep down in my heart, I'm a diehard MMA fan. So if there's any occasion where we have a MMA fighter doing whatever it is that he's doing, like whatever endeavors that they're trying to take on in MMA or other sports, I'm always going to have and have the back of the MMA fighter and support the MMA fighter. In this case, Francis Ngannou, you know, not just for that reason, but also for other reasons that I've talked about on the show previously. I'm just a huge fan of his. You know, a man started from the bottom and made it to the top very fast. After only training for 5 years in the gym, he began his professional MMA career. He became the UFC champion. He retired at the top as an MMA, as the heavyweight champion in the UFC. And he made a transition to boxing. He's still signed to the Professional Fighters League, or PFL. He's expected to make a MMA return in the foreseeable future. However, right now, he's just experimenting a little bit with boxing. And honestly, from some of the things that we observed from him in his prior performance against the WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, things were looking really, really good and optimistic for him. Francis Ngannou, yeah, he lost that initial fight, but what was really impressive about his performance was that he actually knocked down the heavyweight champion of the world, and that's pretty impressive for somebody who was making his boxing debut, period, and had no prior experience doing professional boxing, and he did that on his during his first fight. That was quite impressive for everybody to see. And so, you know, going into the second professional fight of his against Anthony Joshua now, we all had like higher expectations for him. even though we kind of suspect that, okay, even if he were to lose, he still doesn't have anything to lose, if you know what I mean. After all, he's not the big boxer in this case. Like, we already know that Francis Ngannou is a well-known MMA fighter. He's not, like, we shouldn't really expect him to be like a top-tier boxer coming into this fight. Nonetheless, with what we had seen in his performance against Tyson Fury, we still had, like, a little bit of a higher expectation for him. But also, like, I feel like deep down in our hearts, we weren't going to be like, okay, like, we're going to have hard feelings for him if he were to lose the fight through, like, decision or something. However, I'll be totally honest with you guys, what happened on fight nights on Friday night, it really broke everybody's heart, especially if you were a Francis Ngannou fan. If you didn't cry that night, I don't know what to tell you. So what happened was that coming into this fight, we saw that Francis Ngannou was really chill. You know, he was in the right mental space. He was pretty receptive to everything that the fight was bringing towards him, all the pressure. And I mean, this was no easy fight. Let's get that straight, right? Like, he is going against boxing's poster boy right now, a guy who, you know, he's a champion, and former champion. And he just got it going on for him. He's a young prospect. He just, like, he's a young buck. He got everything going on for him. So going into this fight, I feel like his mentality was okay. As a matter of fact, I was starting to be a little bit suspicious of why Anthony Joshua was being as quiet as he was during the press conferences and the open workouts that were being hosted. He wasn't really being super social. He had his headphones on the whole time. He wasn't, like, smiling often. He was really, like, in the zone. But a lot of people were arguing that, oh, is he scared? Like, what's going on with him? Who cares? Because on fight night, let me tell you guys, when the fight started, Anthony Joshua brought it on, man. I feel like he was just really trying to concentrate all of his power until the bell for the first round went off, and he just started unloading on Francis Ngannou, and not just, like, going easy on him. He was going hard on him. And I have to say, even though I'm the biggest Francis Ngannou fan, I feel like Francis Ngannou coming into this fight, the strategy that he took up in fighting, it resembled a lot of MMA striking. His guard was not the best that it could have been. His footwork wasn't there. He looked like he was, like, he was ready to charge forward, but it was, I don't know how else to articulate it, but it felt like he was ready to charge forward in an MMA sense. And I say that because there's a clear distinction between your stance when you're fighting MMA and your stance when you're fighting pure boxing. His stance was not appropriate for pure boxing. And his guard was open. Yeah, he had a guard, but his guard was still open. It was not, like I was saying, his guard was just not appropriate for a boxing fight. There were a lot of openings, which made it really easy for Anthony Joshua to throw strikes at him. And of course, the smart fighter that he is, he used those opportunities to throw strikes at him, right? And yeah, things were not looking good for Francis Ngannou. Joshua saw those openings and he easily threw those big, big right hands. Francis Ngannou went down multiple times in the fight. He was knocked down for the first time in the first round, got back up. I mean, obviously, he was shocked. I don't think he was expecting it himself. And one thing we know about Francis Ngannou is that this man, you know, for the past little while, he's been doing great. But there was a time in MMA that he actually lost. The first time that he ever lost a professional fight, The aftermath of that was not good. It felt like he had a lot of work to do on his mentality. His confidence wasn't there anymore. And I feel like the same scenario kind of started to repeat itself after the moment he was knocked down in this fight for the first time by Anthony Joshua. I just could tell in his eyes that he was not there anymore in spirit, and things started to go downhill for him. Anyways, fast forward second round, he was knocked down twice. And the last time he was knocked out cold on the canvas, and it really hurt to watch. Again, coming from a Francis Ngannou fan, this was really difficult to watch. But alas, you know, we gotta be objective in this case. Francis Ngannou didn't really fight the best that he could have. His guard was not good at all. And there were a lot of loopholes in his game plan. And interestingly enough, I guess, for the lack of better terms, the way that he was knocked out in that second round, it really looked similar to the way that he himself knocked out Stipe Miocic, the former heavyweight champion of the UFC, and the way that he was knocked out cold, actually mid-air, and his knees buckled, and he just went down cold to the canvas. They had to bring out an oxygen mask for him. It was not looking good for Francis Ngannou. But guys, I mean, this coming from a Francis Ngannou fan, you gotta give all the credit in the world to Anthony Joshua. Mans is back on his game. I know, we all know that there was a time that Anthony Joshua too, after his losses to Andy Ruiz Jr., his mentality was just wrecked as well. But I feel like he, you know, maybe it was because of those tough experiences that he had in those previous fights that he started to work on himself physically and mentally, and now he seems like he's back stronger than ever. And this was probably one of the best performances that I've seen Anthony Joshua put on in a professional boxing fight, period. I would say this performance even beat the one that he had initially against Vladimir Klitschko, in which he became the champion of the world. Yeah, sorry. Sometimes I just lose words for describing how I feel in the moment, but you know, this is like the groan that I just gave out right now. It's because, one, my heart goes out to Francis Ngannou, because I'm his biggest fan, and it was just so difficult to see him go out like that. But also, man, you gotta give credit to Anthony Joshua. What? That was just the best knockout, one of the cleanest, neatest knockouts I've seen in heavyweight boxing, period. And we got to give him credit for that. So shout out to him. Amazing fight. Now he called out Tyson Fury. And I guess we shall wait and see what's going to happen in the upcoming fight that Tyson Fury is going to have against Alexander Usyk in May. Because we all know that fight got rescheduled. So whoever wins that fight, the winner of that fight will be most likely going off against Anthony Joshua. Now, what I loved about this fight is that at the end of it, oh my God, the display of sportsmanship, guys. Anthony Joshua put on amazing respect. He told Francis Ngannou, please don't go away from boxing. Stay in boxing. Come back to boxing. And at the press conference, too, they were sitting right next to each other. And we both know that they're African fighters. Anthony Joshua's from Nigeria originally. Francis Ngannou from Cameroon. And Anthony Joshua put out a post saying that they're both representing Africa at the end of the day. And that's the big win, which it truly is. And I just love the display of brotherhood and sportsmanship at the end of the day. And Francis Ngannou, yeah, he brutally got knocked out, but he had amazing spirits at the end of the night. He took accountability for his loss, and you know, stuff happens, and he had an amazing attitude towards it, and I'm sure he's gonna come back stronger than ever after all of this. So amazing fight, and I mean, it was so tumultuous. It was such a roller coaster, but it was really, really beautiful to watch from a technical perspective, 100%. But in addition to that, Saturday night, just to briefly talk about it, we also had the UFC fights happening in Miami, Florida. Wow. Okay, we had the main event happening between Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight champion, fighting off against Marlon Vera. This was the second fight that these guys were having. And oh boy, Sean O'Malley taught Marlon Vera a big lesson. This was arguably one of the best fights that I've seen by Sean O'Malley. This guy, I feel like, I don't know why I thought about this, but I have a feeling that it would be great to have Sean O'Malley fight against Max Holloway in the near future because of that heart that was put on display. And, you know, like, people get hurt in a fight, but they don't back down and they just keep on coming forward. And oh, it was just so beautiful to watch. And the fight went the full distance. The judges gave it through unanimous decision to Sean O'Malley. Amazing performance, but also amazing display of heart by Marlon Vera. And can we please talk about the win by Dustin Poirier in the co-main event of the evening? Going into this fight, everybody was rooting for Benoit Saint-Denis because Benoit has shown to have amazing grappling skills and amazing display of submission techniques in his past fight. So everybody was thinking, okay, yeah, well, Dustin Poirier, yeah, he's been in the game for a little bit, like a good few years. And everybody was thinking that Benoit Saint-Denis was going to be finishing Dustin Poirier because Dustin Poirier, some people think that he's not at his prime anymore, but hey, they were proven wrong. And this was also one of those other fights that gave me goosebumps because of the amazing dominating way that Dustin Poirier won this fight. He was actually able to knock out Benoit in the second round, and oh, it was so beautiful to watch. He still got it, man, and it was an amazing, amazing fight to watch. Also, speaking of amazing performances, we had Michael Venom Page making his UFC debut against Kevin Holland. And oh my God, talking about a grand entrance on behalf of Michael Venom Page. This man, we all know Michael Venom Page is so unorthodox with the style of fighting. He's so fluid and loose with his movements. And I'm so sorry to make an analogy to this. Honestly, I cannot think of another example that describes it so well. But have you seen those like balloon thingies that the little the things that are by I don't know what I'm trying to say, like by gas stations, the little things that have like hot air blown in them, and then they're like little, I don't know what they're called, like balloon thingies, and then they go all over the place, you know, I don't know what they're called, but that's the way that he moves kind of in fights. Like, he's that fluid in fights, and that has shown to serve in his best interest, and he brought it on in this UFC debut that he had against Kevin Holland. He was able to knock him down multiple times, and amazing performance by Michael Venom Page. I'm really excited to see what the future holds for him in this organization. Honestly, back in the day, even when he was in Bellator, because he moved from Bellator to the UFC, we all saw what he was capable of, and he was one of the best forces in Bellator. Now that he's moved to the UFC, I'm really excited to see who he's going to be matched up against in the near future. But that was an amazing performance by Michael Venom Page. Overall, amazing night of fights by everybody who fought on this Miami fight card. We also had a lot of people in the audience. Overall, it was a great event. And I'm really excited to see what's coming up next for the winners of these bouts. And also, next pay-per-view card by the UFC is going to be officially UFC 300. So I really hope that y'all are ready for that as well. That's coming up in about a month or so. And you already know we're gonna have you covered on all those fights and their breakdowns during fight week. But amazing display of technique, heart, and just pure entertainment for UFC 299. All right, so I'm really happy that we have enough time today to talk about this. I said that it was a surreal fight announcement that was put on this past week, and I'm really happy that we have enough time to be talking about this fight card. So you may have heard, y'all, we are, I cannot believe that I'm actually vocalizing this on TKO. We are going to be having a boxing fight coming up on July 20th at the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, between Jake Paul and Iron Mike Tyson. Yes, you heard it right. I'm going to repeat myself. Jake Paul is going to be fighting off against Mike Tyson. And listen, y'all, I don't know what the promoters were thinking to themselves. Well, actually, I know what they were thinking to themselves. They were thinking, oh, man, how do we make more money? How do we make big bank at the end of the day? Not just for us, but for these fighters as well. How about we have this fantasy fight that we could literally be having on the UFC video game actually come to life between Jake Paul, who is, should I say, he's a celebrity boxer, guys. I mean, that's how he started. In my opinion, if he keeps on going like this, he will remain a celebrity boxer in my eyes. Yeah, listen, man, I don't know what happened. I was actually kind of praising him on our previous episodes because he recently had a fight. And I feel like he put on a great performance. I feel like as more fights are going by for Jake Paul, like, he's displaying his boxing techniques better and better. However, I was like, hold your horses, everybody. Like, what's happening right now? Jake Paul is actually going to be fighting Mike Tyson. Come on, man. It's like saying, I don't even know, man. Like, KSI is supposed to be fighting off against Muhammad Ali. Like, I can't believe. I'm lost for words right now, okay? Jake Paul, 27 years old, going to be fighting off against Mike Tyson, who's 57 years old. Mike Tyson hasn't fought in a hot minute, professionally anyways. He did have an exhibition fight against Roy Jones Jr. And that was good, okay? Like, that was acceptable because, whatever. It's an exhibition fight. Who cares? Who cares what happens, right? But in this case, we don't know if it's going to be an exhibition fight. And that's something that actually scares me, y'all. That is some scary stuff right here. Because number one, Mike Tyson is, I mean, yeah, the age. Like, that's one thing. But also, he's not at his prime anymore. And what is Jake Paul thinking to himself, man? Like, okay, like, you want to tell the world that, oh, yeah, I beat Mike Tyson. But what version of Mike Tyson are you going to beat? Because Mike Tyson is not at his prime anymore. And yes, you heard that right. I was clapping behind the mic because that's how frustrated I got when I originally heard the announcement for this fight. I still cannot believe that they're going ahead with this fight. Like I said, money is the biggest motivator here from the sound of it, but they've signed the contracts, y'all, and the fight is supposed to go ahead and happen in July. Fingers crossed. Please, boxing gods, make it an exhibition fight. I cannot stand to see Mike Tyson potentially suffer a loss from Jake Paul. Please, universe, do not do this to us. But anyways, I just wanted to put this announcement out there in case y'all haven't heard. Yes, Mike Tyson is supposed to be fighting off against Jake Paul. And no, it is no joke. The contracts have been signed and there's a lot at stake. Not just money-wise, but their legacy as well. But I will update you guys more in this aspect. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm just looking at the clock right now. That is all the time we're going to be having for this week, y'all. Make sure you go to CFRU.ca to catch up with previous episodes. You can also go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts to download our episodes. And until next time, it's your girl, Janon, right here. And this is TKO. Peace out.